Helen Grace from Blackrock in South Dublin has been in an acute bed at St Vincent's Hospital since October of last year following a spinal injury which has left her a quadriplegic. She can't be discharged because there's no suitable bed free in the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Dunlera. Helen's family are extremely concerned about her future. Her daughter Leanne Grace is with me now in studio along with Fiona Bulger, Chief Executive of Spinal Injuries Ireland. Good morning to you both. Thank you for coming in. Leanne, can you take us back to the time before, I think it was July 2018, I read in a piece you did with the Irish Independent that your mum was very active.
Yeah, she was a very positive person and very social and outgoing and is still a marvellous mum and friend and is the sort of person who would draw people in and towards her. And she would be extremely into travelling, and indeed a lot of my friends would often joke and say, where are they now? Because they were never at home. They were always in Spain or elsewhere. So very outgoing, very positive, very youthful.
And this is it. She was living a very active retirement.
Extremely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And exactly. Not just Spain, but she went to the other side of the world.
Oh, yeah. She has a sister in New Zealand and she went off by herself about 6 months before her injury happened. So extremely independent and a great inspiration for me, certainly.
Yeah. And I gather she had a kind of a rule about when she would sit down.
Yes. So Mum would always say she was kind of a busy person and she used to say, I won't sit down until after dinner because there was too much to be done, you know.
And this, I think it is a woman in her 70s.
Yes, exactly.
So how did she acquire the spinal injury then?
So Mum had underlying breast cancer and unfortunately she was diagnosed at stage 4 and she had some bone damage as a result. And we're not really sure whether Mum had a fall or whether some of the bone damage knocked into her spine and caused the fall. But whatever happened, it resulted in a spinal tear at quite a high level. And so Mum collapsed and was taken to Vincent's and then onto the matter, where we spent 3 months in very uncertain and stressful situation because there was many times we thought Mum would not survive. And then happily, she was well enough to return to St. Vincent's. We always hoped that the National Rehabilitation Hospital would have a bed for Mum, and we're still hoping.
Yes. And what about her current condition? I mean, I said she's paraplegic.
Yeah, she's quadriplegic.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, so Mum has no use of her hands. She has some movement, mostly through her shoulders and bicep area, but she does require breathing support, and this is what makes the resourcing very limited for Mum. But just to speak about Mum as a person, through this injury, she is incredibly positive and has managed to maintain a wonderful pragmatism, positivity, warmth, and has retained herself through all of this, and I would say has retained a great dignity. So happily, she's been very well and infection-free for a long time, and we think she would do very well in rehabilitation, and we're keen to get her on the next step to come home.
And what is the position? There must be a waiting list, or what are the facilities in the National Rehab Hospital?
So there's one bed for a person who has a spinal injury at that level requiring ventilation. So we're waiting for the availability there. Now, the NRH are superb and they are trying to move heaven and earth, but we are in a very difficult position. They are not being allowed to do their job and deliver the correct service and care to people with these injuries.
I know because I drive past it several times a week on the way to work. There's a big rebuilding project.
Yes.
There's a new hospital. It'll probably be open sometime next year. Now, I think they're going to have 130 beds as opposed to the 120.
Yeah.
They're going to be all individual rooms. Might there be facilities then that your mum might be able to use?
There will be something additional, but it won't be a substantial increase for people with a catastrophic injury like Mum. I believe they expect to open an additional bed for somebody like Mum in April of May, all going well. But they're in the design phase of this for that programme at the moment. So it's not something that we feel might help us with Mum. We would hope that she would go sooner. We do know she is next on the list, at least. So,
well, you must be taking some encouragement from that.
Yes.
And, what kind of treatment then would she benefit from? And how much could she improve from what you understand if she does get that bed?
Yeah, so it would be really vital for Mum, for quality of life and pain manage, to have physiotherapy. That's going to be a large part of her care, and that's currently not available to her. She will also need speech and language therapy. She's currently PEG fed and she's unable to even have a glass of water. So we would love, even if she could have a cup of coffee or some small joy in that regard. And because they are the specialists, really, she needs to be assessed there. Then it moves on to things such as OT treatments and seating to allow mum to be able to have whatever independence she can claw back. So she just needs to be in front of the right people.
Would it ultimately be your hope that she could return home?
Oh, that is the goal, and I will do whatever I can to make that happen. There are currently other people at home on the same type of care package as mum will require, so it is being done. And unfortunately, we have been made to feel as if this is the first time this has ever happened in this country, which has caused substantial stress and pain. And that is not the case.
Right. And if I could turn to you, Fiona Bulger, Chief Executive, as I say, of Spinal Injuries Ireland. Are there many families in the situation like Leanne has just described?
Unfortunately, Leanne's story is just one of 49 families who are facing the same difficulties at this moment in time. And 85% of those 49 patients are actually living in acute hospitals at this moment in time, waiting rehabilitation, specialised rehabilitation care at the NRH.
Yes, so that would suggest that even though they are going to double from one to two the beds that will be specifically available for people with these kind of challenges, it really won't go anywhere close to meeting the need that's there.
Well, the problem is that there's so many blocks along the way in the whole pathway of care for somebody who sustains a spinal cord injury. So the delayed discharge is the biggest problem. Mm-hmm. So there are patients in the NRH at this moment in time who are not getting home care packages to move home. And it's because the fund...
So are you saying that they're longer in the NRH than they need to be?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, the phrase joined up thinking comes into mind now.
Exactly. But the problem is the funding is all in silos. So in 2017, the model of care was published for rehabilitation. And the number one recommendation was to centralise funding for complex cases. So that, you know, a case like Helen, it would be the funding would be centralised and you wouldn't be relying on the local HSE community area disability services to provide the funding for home care package.
So would it be the case that if she goes and if she does eventually get, when she gets into the NRH bed, she gets the treatment there, she's brought to a point where she can be discharged, provided there are supports that the home care package, there might be a blockage at that stage?
Absolutely. And there could be somebody else coming along the way. Because the problem is that, you know, the people traditionally think of spinal cord injury and they think of the young male, you know, rugby accident.
Or a guy who comes off a motorbike
into,
or whatever, yeah.
Whereas research has shown now that the average age to sustain a spinal cord injury is 54. And this is happening globally. So you're more likely, you're twice more likely to sustain a spinal cord injury non-traumatically like Helen. So it's, you know, a secondary to cancer or a spinal stroke or a condition like, you know, caudal equina syndrome. Mm-hmm. So every week in Ireland, there's one traumatic injury and there are two non-traumatic injuries and the average age is 54. So there's a lot more complex cases coming through. So there's going to be, there's a huge need for more rehabilitation.
Yeah, Fiona, what exactly needs to change then?
Well, the first thing that needs to be done, they need to implement the centralised funding for mm-hmm. complex cases. The second thing is that they have to ensure that there's adequate staffing in inpatient rehabilitation services. So the new development you talk about at the NRH, you know, that has a requirement. They're now all single rooms. So there's going to be a need for, you know, further staffing there. And that needs to be properly funded. Medical cards. People with a spinal cord injury are not immediately entitled to medical cards. So this can have an impact as well on, you know, your delay in accessing services, because if you have to go and you're mean tested and all the rest, it can delay the whole system. So people should be given emergency medical cards to get them through that mm-hmm. first 2 years and get them back into the community. But huge investment also needs to be made in community services. We're actually, Spinal Injuries Ireland are actually doing a roadshow at the moment because we've launched an awareness programme on caudal equina. Mm-hmm. And it's frightening, you know, we were at a meeting the other night in Galway to listen to people who are returned to the community and there are absolutely no services for them. There's no occupational therapy, there's no physiotherapy and there's no psychological services.
So if the need was met where people are ready for discharge from rehab, it frees up beds back up the line, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly. And even into the acute hospitals.
Yes, because your mum is there because she has to remain there until such time as she can move.
Exactly. So she's in an ICU bed waiting. And Vincent's do not have enough ICU beds for somebody to be there over a year. Now, if I can just say, Vincent's are superb. And the thing is really just that it needs to be the right care.
Yeah. And how is she mentally? Because she's alert. She has her mental faculties, as it were. But how is she able to communicate how she's feeling?
So she's exactly as she was before. Remarkably so. She hasn't really changed in who she is. She's positive. She's cracking a joke. She's a great sense of humour. And I think the way she has managed it is taking it day by day. And, you know, the way that it has gone is I've kind of tried to access the system and create a pathway. And I've been doing all of that sort of reaching out to everybody and anybody. And so Mum and I touch base on it when she wants to talk about it.
Yes.
And that's about it.
And what about the impact of all of this on the family? I mean, the whole situation has changed quite clearly.
It's changed our lives into an unrecognisable situation. And speaking personally, the stress is almost hard to articulate. You're in a sort of situation where you're trying to access a monolithic system and it really feels like David and Goliath. You are shut out completely. People don't respond to you. And I must say, all your energy is poured into this and you have no time to grieve as a daughter for what has happened to your mother. It is heartbreaking, to say the least, and to feel that somebody you love so dearly can be ignored in such a hurtful way.
Yeah, and she sounds, from what you say, she sounds to like somebody who's absolutely heroic.
Oh, she's a great woman. She's unbelievable. And, you know, obviously I'm completely biased as her daughter, but people who come across her seem to feel the same, that she's just, whatever way she has of dealing with this, she's very special.
Yes, well, let's hope that that place on the list where she's at the top of it leads to her transfer to the NRH, and that she gets the care and treatment, and then following on from that. Look, thank you so much, Neil Leanne Grace, for coming to studio to tell us about that. And also my thanks to you, Fiona Bulger, Chief Executive of Spinal Injuries Ireland. Thank you both.
Thank you. Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.